You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church. We are in today the final part of our 40 Days of Prayer series. I hope that you have enjoyed this series. For me, it's gone by so very quickly. I hope that you've been engaged not only in the weekends, but also in a small group and the material. Perhaps you've got your book and are following along. There's so much to learn about prayer. We've only just scratched the surface, and this is a subject that we'll keep coming back to really all of our life as we follow Christ, because there's more and more for us to learn about how to pray, how to engage with God, because this is really about a relationship with the Father. And so even if you have missed any all of the series, and this is your first time today, you're going to be able to sort of just plug right in to the material, because the experience that we're going to be talking about today is an experience that we have all had when it comes to prayer. And I want to encourage you, maybe you have missed lessons, or maybe you haven't been a part of a small group, you can certainly dive in and do the study yourself, because we've put all of this material online, both the small group series as well as the weekend messages, and you can pick up your book. We still have these available through our 111 or by calling the office, or you can get them online. They're available, 40 Days of Prayer, very easy to find. What I want to talk to you today about is this experience that we all have of when God says no in answer to our prayers. None of us like that, but we also just recognize that sometimes that happens. Now, let's start here in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. God says this to his people. He says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." If you happen to have your Bible open there to Jeremiah 33, or if you're taking notes, I just want to encourage you, write that phrase down, "call to me," and then I want you to circle, "I will answer you." I will answer you. God is a God who answers prayer. He's not a God that is uninterested. He's not a God that's far away and distracted. He's not a God that just listens but doesn't actually do anything in response. He's a God that actually promises for his people that he's going to answer. So when we pray, we can be assured there is going to be an answer. Now, sometimes what he answers is no. Sometimes he says, you know, in a little while. Sometimes he says in my way or in my timing. Many times God gives us an answer to our prayers that we maybe don't understand in the moment, but we can always be assured that it's better for us. We often make a mistake that we think that positive answers to prayer are indicative of the sincerity of a person's heart. I'm sure that you have felt that sometimes, man. It's just like some people just seem so sincere in their request, or even you, perhaps you have prayed a prayer and you just feel like, man, I just so desperately needed or wanted God to answer that prayer, answer that request, maybe for healing or for something else, and it just didn't happen. And we tend to think that it's the level of our sincerity of heart that gets God to move in the way that we want, but I don't think it works that way. Sincere people pray all the time and things don't happen, and then sincere people pray all the time and things do happen. I mean, think about people every given Sunday or every given week, for that matter, weekday these days, that are praying with great sincerity for their team to win the game. I mean, is it simply a matter of the sincerity of their heart? Is it a matter that there's maybe more people praying on your side of the contest versus the other sides of the contest? And God weighs, well, how many fans are praying with sincerity of heart versus other? We realize that's not the way that God works. I mean, God oftentimes will simply say no to our prayer because it's silly. Sometimes he'll say no to our prayer because in doing that, it actually is violating someone else's will, or it's violating his own will. God will never answer a prayer that violates his own will, that's for sure. And I know that God oftentimes will answer our prayer with a no, because it can be the greatest test and proof of our faith, and he wants us actually to grow, which is a painful reality. I want to talk to you for a few moments about three reasons, three common reasons, there are many, many others, that God says no to our prayers. And I want to give you a caution that these three reasons are not to be used, we shouldn't use them to comfort someone when they're in pain. We make this mistake frequently. I know I have before. Someone's in pain. Someone didn't receive a prayer that was prayed, didn't receive the healing that they requested for a loved one, something broke down, a crisis happened, and in that moment of their pain, I have often made the mistake of trying to explain, well, you see, God has a different plan in mind. And I just want to remind all of us that explanations don't comfort. Explanations are great at explaining, but they are not great at dealing and helping people when they're in their pain. And friends, true friends, they show up, and oftentimes they just simply shut up, right? The deeper the pain that people are experiencing, the fewer words that are needed in that moment. When you're in pain, you just need that ministry of presence rather than the ministry of explanation. And so I want to encourage you, as helpful and useful as these three reasons why God often says no to us, they're ones that we keep to ourselves in a moment of pain, someone else's pain, rather than sticking our foot in our mouth, which we often do, and saying way too much when simply we need to say, you know what, I don't understand either, but I'm with you and I love you and we're going to walk through this together. So let me give these three to you. The first is simply this: God has a bigger perspective. God says no oftentimes because he has a bigger perspective than we do. Have you noticed God is so much bigger, so much greater, so much more powerful, so much more incredible than anything that we have ever experienced in our lives? Certainly much bigger and better and greater perspective than we have. Hebrews 4:13 says it this way: there is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes. See, God sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. He sees around the corners. He sees ahead in time. He sees inside of people's hearts. He sees everything. We see very little. We see very little, and we understand very little. And so our perspective is limited by our ability to see, but God's perspective is not limited. So oftentimes we will pray a prayer and we think we understand, or we think we know what would be the best. We think we know that a yes answer to our prayer is the way that God would want to do it, but God is actually seeing so much more than what we can see. Proverbs 2:8 puts it this way: God guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. See, if God is actually thinking about your best, and he's seeking to guard his people, then he's going to sometimes say no in answer to your prayer because he's actually protecting you, because the answer might be damaging to you. And sometimes he's just doing something bigger, right? Think of Daniel, or at least in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, and the Hebrew children, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a wonderful story of the three who would not bow down when they were told to bow down to an idol. And as a consequence, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And so there they are in the fiery furnace. And in the midst of that challenge, in the midst of that fire, God did not take them out of the fire. God showed up and walked with them in the fire and in the furnace. And as a result of that experience, their bonds, their chains were actually burned off of them. And they walked out of that experience unsinged, uncharred, and God showed himself faithful, and he freed them of the bondages that were on them in that moment. A great reminder that sometimes, in terms of God's perspective, he's actually doing something that we can't see. He's actually walking us through sometimes a painful experience because he wants to free us of something. And rather than free us of the experience, he's freeing us of our bondages. He's freeing us of those things that are hanging on to us that would continue to hang on lest we go through the fire, unless we went through the fire. And because he's allowed that, because of the larger perspective, then something wonderful can come out of it. That really takes us to the second reason why he often says no. And that's because God has a better plan than we do. He always has a better plan. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says this: I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. God's decree, for as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Boy, God, His plan and His purposes is so much higher. They're so much higher than ours. He has so much greater understanding than us. And the Lord has truly unlimited options for the way that He does things in our lives, right? He has all the resources. He has all the ins and outs. He knows all the ins and outs. He has a better plan than anything that we could even begin to think of. I mean, we might imagine there's one answer or two answers or three possible ways, but He has unlimited resources. And oftentimes His plan, actually I would even say most of the time, His plan in our lives is to develop our character over our comfort. Now, this one I don't like, but this is oftentimes, I think, a reason that God says no to my prayer is because He is developing something inside of me. He's developing something inside of you. He's more interested in developing you, the man of God, the woman of God. He's more interested in developing what's inside of you and bringing something out of you than He is in simply giving you what you want. Hebrews 11 says it this way, they were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better. See, there are times when God has a better plan, a bigger plan. He's doing something that we don't understand, we can't see. He's working all the time, even when we don't understand what He's doing. And we can trust that His plans are always the best. And we have to remember that God has all eternity to fulfill His promises. He's not time-limited the way that we're time-limited. He doesn't work within the constraints that we work within, and so we can sort of rest in that understanding and that reality. I think of so many times when I'm really glad that God said no to me in terms of my prayer. I'm sure that you've had that experience before where you just realize, man, it's so good that God said no because I didn't see what He saw. And if He had given me what I wanted at that time, it would have actually been worse for me or possibly even destroyed me. And I think of the moment some years ago, early in my pastorate here at this church, at Koinonia Church, that I really felt like it was time for me to be lead pastor. And I had a very, very open and frank conversation with Pastor Tim Howard, who was the lead pastor at that point, and I just expressed that I thought probably it was coming close to my time. Well, Pastor Tim kind of laughed, and we had a very intense fellowship conversation in that moment. But the answer was no, and I was wrestling with that because I had a different understanding of the timing. I had a different understanding of what needed to happen, and I began to look outside of this community. I thought, you know, maybe as I'm trying to figure out how to work with this man, I'm not liking it, and so maybe I need to find somewhere else, another job. And I found another job. I was interviewing for it. It looked all very positive. And God very clearly said to me, no. No, it's not the time. And no, you can't go anywhere, which was so very frustrating to me. But it was so very clear over and over again. God just made it very evident that I was supposed to stay right where I was, to be obedient, to be faithful, and to learn through the midst of what was, for me, a very difficult moment, what I needed to learn. And when I think back at that, I think, thank God that He said no to me. Because what happened later on was, number one, I learned how to walk in submission. I learned how to walk in faithfulness, even when it was uncomfortable. We went through, as a family, an incredible medical challenge with one of my sons that potentially, had I been lead pastor, would have destroyed me in that moment. And yet God knew all of that, and God said no. Thank God that He says no sometimes, that He sees all of the picture and that His plan is always better. The third reason that God often says no is because He has a greater purpose. And God's purpose really must be first. His purposes are the most important in all of eternity, and certainly in our story. Psalms 57:2 says, I cry out to God Most High, who fulfills His purpose for me. See, our prayers really should be, Lord, let Your will be done, let Your purpose be accomplished, because Your purpose is always the best. Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, one that we should remember whenever we're going through a challenge in our life. The Apostle Paul says this, we view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. So We're going to go through troubles. We're going to have answers that are no. We're not going to understand things. He says, okay, we're going to have the right perspective on this. We see them in light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison. Because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. See, Paul says, listen, there's something that God is doing. He's working something out. His purposes in your life and in my life, His purposes on the earth, are actually going to produce something that's of eternal consequence and eternal value. Says it's an eternal weight of glory that's being worked inside of the believer as they stand in the midst of a challenging moment. They face suffering, they face pain. They have to say, I don't understand why, I don't understand what's going on, but ultimately I trust God, your purpose is greater because you're going to do something beyond. And see, when we come to that point, that's the perspective that Paul is talking about, and we have to be willing to engage with that. There's three facts of life that we all have to recognize. The first is that sometimes you're not going to get the answer to your question of why, right? But we often want to know why. We want to understand why God did it happen. And sometimes we're just not going to get the answer why. And oftentimes we have to remember that explanation is not necessarily going to help. Secondly, sometimes some problems are never going to change until we get to heaven. Now, I don't like that fact because I want to all my problems to be removed from my life. But the reality is that there's going to be times when we're going to continue to face these problems, and we're going to have them all the way up until that final graduation when we get to heaven. And then third, sometimes you're going to suffer for the benefit of other people. That's actually called redemptive suffering. And it's sometimes we don't understand it, but this is the very reality of Jesus going to the cross so that others might be saved and set free. And so there is many times suffering that God is allowing to happen in our lives, not only just for ourselves, but because it really is doing something for others. Those are three things that are so difficult for us to embrace and understand, but yet they're just part of the reality of life. So sometimes God says no because He has a bigger perspective, a better plan, and a better purpose. And we just have to be willing to embrace that and allow Him to be God. But what do we do with that? What do we actually do when God says no? And I want to spend the rest of our time talking with you about that question. And if you're taking notes, just write this down. The first thing that we should do when God says no is that we have to trust that God does everything in goodness and love. The first thing we do is we trust. We trust the nature of God. We trust who He is. We trust that He's not a vindictive God, that He's not an evil God, that He's not waiting just because He's mischievous and He wants us to just sort of be miserable in the moment. No. That's not who God is. God is a God who is all good, all kind. He is the kind of God that loves us and desires to do always the best for us. Charles Spurgeon said it in this way, the great preacher. He said, God is too good to be unkind, and He is too wise to be mistaken. And when we can't trace His hand, we must trust His heart. See, there will be times when we don't understand the hand of God. We don't understand the reason why things are going on. I've actually given up asking why, and I'm more focused on just saying, Lord, what do you want to do in this moment? Psalms 25:10 says it this way, all the ways of the Lord are loving. We can trust that God, no matter what is going on in our life, what's going on around us, that the Lord's desire and His actions are always loving towards us. They're always loving towards His people. He sees us in Christ as His Son, and He's always working for our benefit. Don't let the enemy lie to you, tell you something different. When we don't understand, oftentimes what we'll start to do is we'll start to get mad at God, or we'll start to listen to the enemy that says to us, well, he's not listening to you for this reason or that reason, or he doesn't love you, or he's got, we come up with all kinds of things why we would start disbelieving God's goodness. And we just have to remember, we don't have to understand God's answer to our prayers in order to trust that His answers are always the best and always the most loving answers possible. We can choose to resist, resent, or relax into God's plan, right? We can choose to resist, you know, I don't like it. I'm going to resist against it. I'm going to be miserable in it. We can resent it. We say, God, you know, why in the world would you do that? Many of us get angry when God says no. Or we can simply say, you know what, Lord, I don't understand. I don't even like it, but I'm going to simply choose to relax into the plan that you have. Why? Because I trust your nature. I trust your character. I trust that you're good above all things. I trust that you always have the best in store for me, and you're always working things out for my good. Romans 8:28 says, in everything God works for the good of those who love Him. You might know that verse already. If you don't, you need to memorize it, because God is always working on the behalf of those who are loving and serving Him. That means that no matter what the circumstance that you go through, God is working on your behalf. The second thing I want you to remember of what you should do when God says no, I want you to do this. When you're in pain, pray what Jesus prayed when He faced the cross. When we're facing a moment of difficulty, when the answer seems to be no, or sometimes it's just not yet, and we're miserable in the waiting, the thing to do is for us to approach that moment the same way that Jesus approached the cross. The Garden of Gethsemane, many of you know that story, the day before Jesus actually goes to the cross. He's there in the garden seeking the Lord. And Gethsemane itself actually is a word that means where they pressed the olives. It's literally an oil press. And of course, what do you do when you press? How do you get olive oil? You have to squeeze the olives until they're crushed. And then something of great value comes out of it. And here Jesus goes to this place prophetically, acknowledging that something was pressing, something was crushing Him in that moment. And in Matthew, it recounts it in this way, in verse 35 of chapter 14, going a little farther, He, this is Jesus, fell to the ground and prayed that if it is possible, the hour might pass from Him. Abba, Father, He said, everything is possible for You. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what You will. This is the way that we should approach these moments of pain and difficulty and suffering when we don't know or understand why the answer seems to be no. And I want to encourage you to do this and to write this down. Three things that will remind you whenever you're in this process of pain. The first thing you do is what Jesus did. You affirm God's power. Jesus prays, Father, I know You can do anything. Listen, we just begin there. We just know that God is all-powerful, that there's nothing that can stop Him. Nothing is impossible for Him. Nothing is outside of His reach. Nothing is beyond the Father. There's no place too far. There's no place too dark or too deep that He can't reach and He can't change. And so we just start by grounding ourselves in the understanding and reminding ourselves that, Lord, You are truly powerful and You can do anything. And then secondly, go ahead and ask. Ask with passion that thing that's on your heart. And Jesus, even though He knows that He's going to have to go to the cross, He says with all of His heart, Father, please, If there can be another way, let this cup pass for me. He says, Father, please give me what I'm asking in this moment. The Lord is not afraid of us asking. The Lord is not worried. Oh my goodness, you know, what am I going to do if they ask me something that I can't answer? It's actually part of that process of relationship that we must do with the Lord, where we're bearing our heart to Him and we're telling Him everything that's inside of us in this moment of pain. But then thirdly, and this is an important and critical third thing that we have to do, we then accept God's plan. He says, you know what, Lord, but not my will, Your will be done. Lord, I know that this is what I want. I know this is a moment of great pain and suffering, but I trust that You're good enough and big enough to know the best way. And so I yield and submit my will to Your will. And that's a critical place for us to be. Some years ago, now 8 years ago, that my son Hudson had a stroke as a seven-year-old. And it was quite a journey and process. And the third day after he had his initial stroke, he crashed again. And they had to take him in for emergency surgery. And there was some concern that he might not make it through because it was just at this moment where, he might die. And they put us in this little room, my wife and I, and they closed the door and they said, we'll be back. We'll let you know what's happening. And we literally threw ourselves on the ground and we began to pray. And thinking back now, we realize that our prayer was very much like this prayer model that is gave to you, that Jesus prayed. We said, Lord, you can do anything. Would you please heal our son? Would you please save his life? Would you please heal him? But then we said, but Lord, even if you don't, we trust you. And in that moment, we came to a place of complete surrender. We came to a place where we acknowledged, I think, God's great sovereignty, that he is in control of everything, and his great goodness, that his will is always better, that even if my worst happens, that even if my son dies, that even if everything falls apart, that at the end of the day, God is so good, and he's so powerful, and he's so gracious, that he's going to be with us and walk us through those moments and somehow support us and sustain us in that. And to trust him in that way is to finally come to the place of total release and total surrender. That's where Jesus was. He says, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to hold on to this any longer. I'm simply going to yield and allow you to work your grace. It takes us to number three here, the third thing that we do when God says no to our prayers. We can simply do this. We can expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. God is going to give us grace. Even if the answer is no, even if the answer is not in that way, not at this time, no, my goodness, how in the world could you ask that? Whatever it is, there is an expectation that we should have that he's going to be with us in that moment, and he's going to give us what we need to carry us through. The Apostle Paul, who is, of course, an incredible model for us in Scripture, probably the second really Christian for us after Jesus Christ himself, who modeled for us how to walk the life of Christ, he struggled with this reality of a prayer that went unanswered. We call it Paul's thorn in the flesh. And it seems to probably have been a physical thing, that's what we think, that he was dealing with, that just he couldn't seem to shake. The Lord wouldn't heal it. He wouldn't give him the answer for it. And he talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he says this, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then he goes on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says there's a secret here. There's a secret in the midst of suffering and pain that when we allow that to drive us to the Lord, when we allow the pain to take us deeper into relying on God's goodness and his grace and his strength, then something supernatural, something divine happens that takes us beyond and into another realm where we now have, instead of weakness and pain and difficulty, we now experience the greatness of God, his strength and his glory and his grace in the midst of all of that. But we will never see that if our life only has answered prayers. We will never experience the fullness of God's strength in our weakness unless we first experience weakness. Let me ask you this question. What have you ever learned that was truly of value from pleasure, comfort, and getting your own way? When I thought about that question, I realized that there's very little that I've learned from getting my own way. I've learned that feels great. But in terms of something of great value, the things just that are pure enjoyment haven't actually taught me much. Most of, if not all, of the things that we have learned in life that are of true value really actually come through pain. They come through struggle. They come through difficulty. Those things that we know, remember the saying, right? Without pain, there's no gain, no pain, no gain. Well, the truth is you can have pain without gain. But I'm not sure how much gain you can have without pain, because gaining something requires us to stretch into a new arena. It requires us to go through something difficult, and that comes through work and through suffering and through difficulty. But our pain, if we approach it correctly, can actually be an open door to God's goodness, His strength, His blessing, the richness of His presence, the experience of His abiding goodness in the midst of every moment. Our pain is the doorway. It's the doorway to God's goodness. Perhaps you have gone through things in your life, as all of us have, that a pain that is so real and so powerful that even to think about it again is difficult. You know, the loss of a spouse or a child who died untimely and should not, or a divorce, the loss of a marriage, a financial disaster that crushed you and you just don't seem to have the answer, an abusive relationship that resulted in just such incredible suffering in your life. I just want to encourage you that the story isn't over, that pain is not the end, that pain is actually something that God can use. He can take it and He can somehow transform it. He can allow it to be an open door into His goodness and His grace. This is what Psalms chapter 9, verse 10 says, "Those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You don't abandon anyone who comes to you." Whatever your experience is, if even in this very moment you're going through a moment where you feel like God is saying no to you, or you're in this period of waiting and it just seems like it's never going to end, I just want to encourage you that the Lord, He sees you, He knows you, and the degree to which you continue to trust in Him, you can be assured He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. He's still at work for you and on your behalf. He's doing something that is truly of eternal value if we allow Him to. If we say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you can do in me, do it in this moment." Do you have a relationship with Christ? Do you have that kind of ability to talk with Him in the midst of suffering, in the midst of what you're experiencing, and know that He's actually with you? That just simply begins with a relationship with Jesus, where you say to Him, "Lord, you know what, I've tried my own strategy in my own way, but I'm going to yield all of that up because my methods and my strategies have not actually taken me where I need to go." And I just want to encourage you to today reach out to the Lord. Perhaps you have seen Jesus as a historical figure. Perhaps you have seen Him as someone for someone else. But I just want to encourage you that perhaps today is the day when you give your life in its entirety to Him, where you simply change your course and you give up the strategy that you have been undertaking for so long and doing it on your own. And you say, "You know what? Yeah, I'm learning my lesson. I'm taking you at your word, Lord, that you would please accept me and that you would receive me and that you would then walk through with me every moment of difficulty and suffering." And perhaps today you already know the Lord, but it's simply a matter of rededicating yourself and resubmitting once again to God's purposes in your life. There are times when God's going to say no to us, but instead of getting mad, instead of getting angry, instead of being resentful, perhaps what we need to say is, "Lord, yes, I yield to your will, and I'm asking you to do something that's greater in the midst of this." Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you that you are at work in your people today. And we just reach out for you, Lord. We just reach out for salvation. We reach out, Lord, for hope and life. We reach out, Lord, because you're a God that hears us and answers us. But we also yield and submit that sometimes you're going to say no. Sometimes you're going to say not yet. Sometimes you're going to say not in that way. And Lord, we just give ourselves once again to your purposes. We're asking that you would walk us through moment by moment with your grace. Lord, I'm praying for your people today, all over, wherever we are, Lord, and whatever we're experiencing, that your grace would be sufficient in this hour and this moment, that your purposes would be made clear, and that we, Lord, would be representative of your people, whose strength, Lord, is demonstrated out of our weakness, that your power is made perfect in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.